che è membro dell'AIDE. Solo due brevissime considerazioni che mi venivano dal suo intervento. Da una parte ci dimostra che non dobbiamo mai dare niente per conquistato, perché ci ha dimostrato che quello che sembrava probabilmente assodato in Belgio è crollato con un cambio di politica sociale, di orientamento, con l'arrivo della repressione della destra, insomma, con tante cose. E poi dall'altra parte mi sembra che ci abbia dato un cazzotto nello stomaco come avvocati, chiamandoci alla militanza, alla mobilitazione. Credo che effettivamente in questo momento, noi pensiamo all'Italia ovviamente, abbiamo non una possibilità, abbiamo un dovere, noi dobbiamo fare tutto quello che possiamo come avvocati, come studenti, come persone, per opporci a queste derive reazionarie, un termine di cui abbiamo discusso è fascista, per me si può usare, a queste derive fasciste. Anche perché se no, quando poi succederà qualcosa, noi non potremo dire che non sapevamo, non ci eravamo accorti o che. La banalità del male di cui parlava Hannah Arendt credo che sia assolutamente attuale in Europa, e sui migranti forse è proprio il momento esplosivo di questa banalità del male, quindi scusate per questo breve intermezzo. Darei adesso la parola a Daniel Amelang Associazione Libre de Abogados y Abogados, giusto, di Madrid, che ovviamente ci porta un po' in penisola iberica.
Thank you for inviting me here. First of all, I would like to point out that we called our, as you can see, we called this very short lecture repression or attacks against freedom of expression. I think we have to be more precise here. I think we cannot just talk about freedom of expression when with what we're going to consider. We're going to talk about freedom of speech, which is a form of expression. When our colleague from Germany, Silke, was talking about police not letting activists go to demonstrations, that was an attack against the freedom of expression, a freedom of gathering. When she also mentioned the police not letting the press, the free press, to access the demonstration, that was attack on the freedom of the press and our right to information. But that also is a part of freedom of expression. But what we want to talk about, considering the Spanish case, is particularly the attacks we suffer on freedom of speech, which is the attacks we suffer just by voicing, by saying, or by writing what we think, what we believe. Or not even what we think or believe, but just by saying what we want to say freely. And in Spain, I believe we are a laboratory of repression. I think freedom of speech is under vicious attacks by the state in Spain. And I believe this is the country in Western Europe where freedom of speech is more in jeopardy, more under threat than in any other country in Western Europe, and you'll see why. Every week or so, we receive news about somebody being prosecuted for voicing their opinions just by saying something, maybe on social media, maybe by writing an article, etc. Some people are always being arrested in Spain for this, for different crimes. I'll get to that. Some opinions might be more controversial than others. Some opinions may be more right, more accurate. But I would argue that in none of these cases, people receive or should deserve actually to receive the brutal response from the state that we are actually receiving now in Spain. Freedom of speech in Spain is deterred using either criminal law or administrative law. Administrative law, of course, is a more common tool, a more day-to-day tool, which is used on a daily basis, consisting of setting fines, giving you a fine for what is considered a minor infraction. But this is a fine which can lead to up to several thousand euros in punishment for people. According to latest information, 58 people every single day are being fined for insulting or disrespecting police officers. So it's 58 people a day in Spain. And the state has cashed, this was released last week, 270 million euro in fines since July of 2015, which is when our gag laws were finally approved and started to take place in Spain. So that is roughly 100 million euro a year for people disrespecting the police, going to demonstrations which have not been pre-approved by the government, for people exercising their constitutional rights, in other words. We could talk about these administrative laws and these gag laws for hours, but what we feel, Paula and I, when we thought about this presentation, when we thought was particular in the Spanish case in regards to the rest of Europe is not administrative law, not the way administrative law is used, but the way criminal law is used for people who voice their opinions in one way or another. Particularly, there are, I would say, four different crimes that stand out, but I'm not going to focus on the first one of them because my colleague from Catalonia, Laia, is going to talk about hate crimes and hate speech and the misuse there is in Spain right now regarding this crime. So I'm going to focus on three other different crimes. One would be glorification of terrorism or praising terrorism. A second one would be crimes against religious sentiment or religious feeling, which is a fancy way of saying blasphemy. And the third felony would be insults against the king, insults against the Spanish monarchy, which is also a criminal offense in Spain. Starting with no particular order, but starting with the last of these two felonies, offenses against the king. I mean, we do realize that Spain is not the only country in Europe which prosecutes insulting the head of state. There are other countries which have this in their criminal code. But I mean, the way these proceedings are used and abused in Spain really stands out. In last year, in the year 2017, at least 16 criminal proceedings were started by the public prosecutor's office, charging people with insulting the king, and 26 other cases from previous years were finished in the year 2017. So that means last year 32 people had to go to a court and had to face a judge for insulting or voicing their opinions on the king. Not that we should, you know, focus a lot on the figure of the Spanish monarchy right now, but just to point out that several members of the royal family have been accused or suspect of different scandals, including corruption, including taking money from the state. The king has been surrounded with several other scandals, like killing elephants in Botswana, going to Africa and killing elephants, using public money. And if anyone has tried to criticize this publicly, they can find themselves facing a judge and facing even prison sentencing. The most famous case, which took place last year regarding this felony, had to do with the Catalan rapper Valtònyc, who was convicted of several crimes, including offenses against the monarchy. He when the sentencing came out, he fled to Belgium, and the Belgian authorities refused to extradite him later to the Spanish authorities because they considered this was a misuse of our criminal code. So this just points out that how different judges in different European countries see the way Spanish law is used and abused. In regards to the second of these felonies, the second of these crimes, it would be crimes against religious sentiment, religious feelings, blasphemy. We know that at least last year, in 2017, there were at least 14 criminal proceedings for blasphemy. This crime consists of insulting God or mocking religious beliefs in some way. The most famous case in 2017, I would argue, was that of a drag queen in the Canary Islands called Dragsetlas, who, during the carnival festivities, posed as the Virgin Mary. The church considered this extremely offensive, and they charged her with this crime, Luckily, she was acquitted, but this once more had to go to a judge. The most famous case this year, in the year 2018, has to do with Spanish actor Willy Toledo, who posted on Facebook, a Facebook post or whatever it's called, saying, "I shit on God." And for this, he is now being prosecuted for crimes against religious sentiment. Let's just say, I mean, Willy Toledo, this actor, he could have done this for any other reason, for a million reasons, and he should not be prosecuted for this. But I just wanted to point out why he did this. And he did this, he posted on Facebook, "I shit on God," for one very particular reason, and that's because a group of feminists in Seville, in Sevilla, a few months earlier had participated in a mock procession during the Holy Week. It was a procession called the Procession of the Holy Vagina. They had a huge vagina statue, and for that they have also been prosecuted for crimes against religious sentiment. So that's what led Willy Toledo to say, "I shit on God," and now he's being prosecuted for crimes against religious sentiment, for mocking the beliefs of Christianity in this case. But what we really want to focus on, what we really want to put our focus on, is the last of these crimes, the crimes of glorification of terrorism. We also believe that Spain is very stands out in Europe because and regarding this crime. Firstly, what does this crime consist of? Well, like its name says, glorifying terrorist organizations or members of terrorist organizations. As you all know, during several decades, there was problems regarding terrorism in Spain, and in the year 2011, the Basque organization ETA gave up the armed struggle. So let's just point out that before ETA gave up its armed struggle, the number of proceedings regarding glorification of terrorism were practically non-existent. The police, the Guardia Civil, investigating magistrates, and the public prosecutor's office did not consider glorification of terrorism to be an issue, to be a problem. And at most, we would have maybe three of these proceedings a year. I believe in the year 2011, there were five proceedings of this nature with this crime. After ETA gave up its armed struggle, all of a sudden the number of proceedings regarding glorification of terrorism, so the terrorist threat disappears, and all of a sudden glorification of terrorism proceedings go up by 400%. I believe 2016 was the year where most proceedings regarding glorification of terrorism took place, which were 125. So we passed from 5 in the year 2011 when ETA was still active to 125 just 5 years later. So we can see how the number of crimes is increasing. One reason why this could happen has to do with the fact that the number of police officers, the number of public prosecutors which investigate terrorist crimes has not decreased, even though the terrorist threat has now practically disappeared. The number of police officers has not decreased. So what has happened? Now they have to put their focus of attention on something else. And we've defended several people in these kinds of proceedings, and we always ask the police, how did you find this person posted on Facebook, for example, or posted on Twitter something like "Long live ETA" or "Long live Grapo" or different organizations? They always say, well, we just search on Google, we search on Twitter for words like ETA or names of ETA members, and then we find someone has posted something and we arrest that person, even though that person has nothing to do with the environment, has nothing to do with violence, has nothing to do with terrorist organizations or terrorist beliefs even. They might have posted that as a joke or as a reference of some sort, but they just search for random words. So you have police officers who once were investigating, let's call them, more serious crimes, and now all of a sudden they are searching the internet for people posting their beliefs or posting whatever they feel like on the internet. Also, there's another reason which we have to take into account, and it's the intent of the government to control the historical narrative. They say we defeated terrorism using police force, but now we also want to make sure that the terrorist legacy does not stay on. Anyone who thinks, or anyone who claims, or anyone who supports certain ideas which we consider illegal should be prosecuted for voicing them publicly. So what they want is to create self-censorship and to control the historical view of what the armed struggle was like. And also, it's a means to distract us from other issues. It's a means for us to keep focus on what the state tells us is the enemy we should focus on, and forget about other scandals, corruption scandals, and other issues that go on with the government. So I think I believe strongly that they point out we have an internal enemy in our midst. We have an internal enemy in our state. It's the people who support these terrorist organizations, and maybe also, like Laia will explain, also maybe the Catalans, but that's also another internal enemy. So, but it's definitely a means to distract. We've seen it all regarding this offense. We've defended people who have published articles. We've defended people who have published jokes, even on social media. They don't mean to glorify; they just posted a joke, which really has no other intent but making people laugh. But they consider this offensive to the victims of terrorism, and thusly, it should be prosecuted, and it should lead to prison sentencing. The last reform of our criminal code in the year 2015 set a minimum of 2 years and 1 day for people who commit this offense on social media, for people who commit this offense online. So if you commit an offense of glorification of terrorism in a public forum online, you will immediately be sentenced to prison, and you cannot elude this prison sentencing. There's no way to stop you from entering prison since our last reform. So what they are not looking for is just to scare people, but to effectively put people in prison. And like I was saying, and since you know we're lawyers here, let's talk about the mens rea, which has to do with this particular crime. Our Supreme Court understands that intent is not a necessary factor to commit this offense of glorification of terrorism. It's not necessary to have an intention of effectively glorifying a terrorist organization, or an intention of leading other people or asking other people to join armed struggle. Just by objectively saying or writing something which sounds like glorification of terrorism, even if you don't mean it, even if you don't have the intent, according to an interpretation carried out by the Supreme Court in the César Strawberry case. He's a singer, popular singer in Spain. He posted a few jokes on Twitter. He went to court. He explained what he meant by them. He said, this was just joking. This wasn't serious. I'm actually against terrorism. He even turned in some public articles he had published in the newspapers where he asked ETA to stop their armed struggle. And the Supreme Court eventually, when it made it to the Supreme Court, said whatever his intentions were is irrelevant to us. What's relevant to us is that he objectively said something which sounds like he was supporting ETA or he was supporting Grapo. So, as we can see, this really puts us in a very dire position, and of course it leads to self-censorship, even in a comedic standpoint, in a comedic point of view. This has caused a great deal of concern amongst European colleagues. I've had several meetings with colleagues from different countries. Especially, for some reason, the Dutch are very troubled with this. I'm not sure why. But they are all very worried because, as you know, the latest European directive on combating terrorism from the year 2017 states as one criminal offense that every member state has to include in their criminal code or their criminal laws, the felony of let's see, what was it called, public provocation to commit a terrorist offense. Most European, I mean, colleagues from European states are worried that the Spanish example will be put in and set in their own criminal proceedings, and they're very worried with this Article 5 of the European directive regarding public provocation to commit offense. Whereas in Spain, we actually see this as a beacon of hope. We see this as a way of improving our standpoint in Spain, because the European directive states that intent has to count. The person who commits this crime has to have the intention of publicly supporting the terrorist organization, and more important, the intention of provoking a danger of committing terrorist attacks. So it's not just only voicing your opinion, hey, I think this organization is great, but also asking people to commit terrorist offenses or terrorist crimes. So this is actually an improvement in regards to what we have in our Supreme Court. Yeah, I have to finish. So I would just say, I believe Magistrate Pepino said earlier, he mentioned Erri de Luca. Erri de Luca undoubtedly would be in prison if he were in Spain and had written what he wrote. And our colleague Diletta said she was calling to activists to put an end to these injustices. We've had cases like this in Spain when two puppeteers were arrested in Madrid for putting on a play. It was a very controversial case, and they were charged with the crime of glorification of terrorism. Some famous actors reenacted the same play they had, and then they said, okay, if you want to arrest us now, because we did the same play they did, you have to come and arrest us. And then different people on different streets and different cities in all around the Spanish state also reenacted that same play, and they told the public authorities, we've reenacted this same play, so if you want, you have to come and arrest us. And this eventually led to the national court, the court that tries all terrorist related offenses, to realize that this case was just ludicrous, it was absurd, and in the end they put an end to it, and they acquitted the puppeteers, and it was thanks in a great deal to public support. So I believe that this kind of disobedience, this kind of civil disobedience, is a way to improve the way the courts see this. And so this is a calling to lawyers and a calling to activists to put forward different ideas and see what we can do to change this. Thank you very much.